Hank gets his first start, and Auburn pulls away late to take down New Mexico. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
All right, let's get after it. Let's talk about this big win. Auburn pulls away late. Hank Brown gets his first start, and the Tigers get their second win of the season. And it was ugly at first, not going to lie, but we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and then the outlook, what we can learn from this and what we can possibly look forward to in the future. But before we get started, you got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round, get your double up bonus on your first deposit. Give them $100. They're gonna give you another 100 back on top to play with. Auburn covered late. I know you were nervous. Auburn covered late. If you would have pounded Auburn as the line dipped when the weather came in and Hank was announced as the starter, if you would have pounded Auburn, you cover that spread. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So Hank Brown gets his first start. That's going to be the storyline. So I want to start there. I want to start with Hank, and I want to talk about so many aspects of this that I feel like are just very, very impressive. Okay, under the circumstances, you got your second year redshirt freshman, not a lot of playing time, and then you're kind of thrown in, I guess, really with 1 week to sort of get ready. And it seems like Hank's kind of been prepared for this forever. It seems like he's just been. It didn't seem like he was a second string quarterback coming in for his first start. It kind of felt like he was your starting quarterback. And I don't know that was the kind of game where the adversity, that's the kind of game where there was just a little bit of adversity that you would have, I feel like we would have been sweating this thing out with Peyton, unfortunately. And I hate to be that way, but I do feel like with the weather, the defense having some issues, I feel like that would have been one of those games where you're sort of sweating it with Peyton late to hopefully maybe win the game late. I mean, this could have been a much closer game. Auburn kind of puts it away in the second half. And there was a while there for the second half. I didn't think Hank was going to throw an incompletion. And he didn't really, honestly. He had two drops there towards the end. He kind of put it on the numbers. One was a little bit of a forced throw, but still very impressive in the second half. You could tell him going through his reads. You could tell him going through the progressions, making quick decisions. I was very, very impressed with Hank overall. I thought that in the first half, he looked calm. There was some drives that kind of got stalled that I didn't really feel like were totally on him. Overall, though, I just feel like he made really good decisions and did really well. So I think that's something that we can be excited about. Looking at his stat line, 17 of 25 for 235 yards and four touchdowns to four different receivers, 68% completion percentage. Felt like he was pretty accurate all night. There's and I think a couple of the incompletions were wet ball situations where the ball just seemed to kind of slip out of his hands and go nowhere. So that's kind of what you want out of this kind of game. And I said, I didn't expect 350 yards out of Hank. I thought, hey, if you can just get a little bit over 200, have a high completion percentage, and then not turn the ball over, you're going to put this team away. You're going to do pretty well. And if the defense had showed up as well as the offense, I think, and you don't have those stupid fumble turnovers, I think this game could have been a lot worse than I think it could have been a lot worse than it actually was. Auburn had to score late to kind of cover the spread. Not that that's the goal, but kind of score late to kind of put the game away. But overall, just really, really happy. You saw Perry Thompson get in the action. A lot of different receivers caught passes. I thought, hey, big props to Camden Brown, man. Think about Camden Brown. You don't ever get to play. You got Cam Coleman coming in ahead of you. And you're sort of a forgotten name. You're sort of forgotten on this roster. And you come in, you make three big catches, a big catch for a first down, a big catch for a touchdown. Just really, made some really, really tough catches in traffic. Big, big game for Camden Brown. Rivaldo Fairweather, another guy that, I mean, I know he did have one drop, but still, maybe two drops, actually, now that I think about it. It says he had three targets and three catches. I remember at least one drop in there for 37 yards and a touchdown. It was big to finally get him on the board. That was really good. Keandre Lambert-Smith is – he's just so steady. I mean, so steady. Really good pickup late in the portal. It seemed like he's your go-to guy. I mean, he just is. He's your go-to guy, especially with Cam out for the game. He's an absolute stud. I love the little play. I love the touchdown pass of Jarquez. I love that play call of kind of running clear outs, and then you got a little dump off over the middle to Jarquez, getting the running backs involved. I love that. Just overall, and then you want to go to the rushing game and talk about Jarquez. Other than the fumble, he did get one. He did get it back, I believe. But still, we'll talk about the bad. We're talking good right now. We're gonna be positive, and then we're gonna talk the bad stuff. So, Jarquez, 20 carries for 152 yards, 7.6 yards a carry, and a touchdown. Damari Austin, 10 rushes for 80 yards, averaging 8 yards a carry. And then Jeremiah Cobb finally got some action too. 7 carries for 34 yards. Jeremiah Cobb also opened the game up with a big kickoff return. Totally screwed them up after that. They had no idea what to do on kickoffs. They were doing short kicks. They were doing pooch punts and then our pooch kicks. And then we actually slipped in Malcolm Simmons on them late in the game when they tried the little pooch kick to the tight end. Uh-oh, there's Malcolm Simmons. There's 11. And he almost houses it. So I thought that was a thought that was great too. Good to see Jeremiah Cobb get some action because he's a guy that I'm a little bit worried about. I know that Jarquez is gone this year, but Jeremiah Cobb's a really good player, and I want him to get action because I don't want to lose this kid to the portal because there's going to be a lot of schools that want to come after him and make him their feature back, and he could be a really good 1-2 punch with him and Damari next year. So offense overall, I just thought was very, very impressive under the circumstances. The fumbles got to fix the fumbles. And again, that's part of the bad. We're going to get there. But overall, I feel like what you saw tonight is something that you can build on. That offense right there, guys, that offense right there can win some games. That offense right there is good enough to win some games. That style, run the ball, get the ball out quick. You can take some shots, and you got some guys that can make some plays. And you're not even playing Cam Coleman tonight, who, again, he's going to be fine, a little bit precautionary. But that offense, what you just saw, can win some football games. That offense is good enough to be competitive against a lot of the teams that you're playing. And I really, really was proud of Hank. I was really proud of him, how he handled the rain. Guys, it was raining. It was pretty tough. It was raining hard there when everything got really sloppy, like towards right before halftime. Like, you just wanted to get out of that game, get out of half, get into half so that you could, obviously regroup and come out. And then obviously the rain stopped, and then Hank came back out and was flawless. He was flawless in the second half. Again, he was 9 of 9 before he threw his first incompletion, and it was a drop right in the hands, I believe, to Perry Thompson. And then the second incompletion, I think he forced it a little bit to Rico Walker from the sounds of it. I was on my way back. I was trying to get back to get ready, but it sounded like he forced it a little bit. But other than that, his decision-making was great. There wasn't really many throws. I wish I would have that back. There was one that was a little bit late to start the game that could have possibly been intercepted. But for the most part, I felt like he played really well. I played really, really well in his first start. Didn't let the moment get too big for him. And I thought he handled business, and that's what you have to do. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to make the big play every single play. You can just go out there, manage the game, take your shots when you get them, and you got the playmakers that can make it happen. So all in all, I thought it was a very, very impressive offensive outing, and I think it's something that you can continue to build on. Overall, 500 total yards, very balanced, 235 in the air, 268 on the ground, just pretty, pretty solid outing. I mean, these are the kind of this is the kind of outing you want against a team like this, that has a a very undermanned defense, and you kind of did what you needed to do. So I was proud of the offense. Now let's talk bad. Okay, let's talk bad. Number one, I'm not going to go to the defense yet, but let's talk bad. Fumbles have to stop. Something's got to give on fumbles. Okay, we're getting close to double digit fumbles now in the first three games. That can't happen. Like that's awful. When you're the running back, when you're an SEC running back, when you want to be a feature running back, you can't put the ball on the ground. Now, every time now, when a play starts to be extended, whenever a running back gets stood up or tries to fight for more yardage, I am terrified. I am on the edge of my seat because I know at any point in time, this ball's coming up. This ball could come out. And that seems like I'm sorry, Lee. Just hang in there. The fumbles are bothering me. The fumbles are bothering me. You can't do that. You cannot do that. And then you throw in a muff punt on that, where you got a guy back there that you trust. You got a guy back there that's supposed to be your senior leader. And the fumbles got to stop. The fumbles have to stop. You got to clean that up big time. So that is definitely one thing negative to look at on the offensive side. And then you go to defense. And look, I could go for a long time on defense, but the more and more I think about this, it really seemed like obviously the game plan was don't let this quarterback beat you running the ball. It's like we almost just completely wrote off the wide receivers, wrote off the passing game. Let's don't go crazy on the rush. Let's just contain him, which I feel like at times they did, and then we'll just take our chances. Keep him in the pocket and make him beat us in the air. Well, he just about – I don't want to say he just about did, but he lit your butt up, okay? You didn't – you can – for four quarters, you never really came after the guy. You never put any pressure on him. You didn't let him out of the pocket much, but – You didn't let him get a lot of rushing yards. I don't think he had any rushing yards, actually. It said, let's see, Dan Pierce, 6 carries for 17 yards. So, yeah, you limited him pretty big time in the rushing department. But when you don't rush when you rush only three, we have some issues in the secondary. We have some issues as far as – I don't know if it's talent. I don't know if it's scheme. But – I mean, when it's one-on-one battles, it's pure talent, okay? Now, there are some times when they would find some open spots in the zone, but the man-on-man on the outside, they're just beating us. They were just beating us. You saw one was probably could have been a push-off in the end zone for a touchdown. There were multiple times where number 7, if he had any ball skills in the air, could have scored, could have gotten big plays that they just didn't connect on. Because it was one-on-one and he could separate himself from whoever that defensive back is because we're not getting pressure on him. I do not understand that. I get the idea of containing him, but you took Kieron Crawford and you took Jalen McLeod completely out of the game. That's not what you didn't do this last game. They kind of got after the Cal guy, especially in the second half, and were able to, you know, create some big tackles for loss, create some big plays on defense, and you couldn't do that at all. Isaiah Rakes cannot rush the passer. Zeke Walker cannot rush the passer, okay? Those guys played a ton of snaps. They cannot pressure the quarterback, okay? That can't be your primary pass rush. And then another thing is when that's the case, they can seal the edge and the cutback lanes in the run game. They were just gaping at times. And it's like that can't happen. Now, maybe Arkansas is just honestly a little bit better version of New Mexico. And if that's the game plan you roll out there. Now, look, I know you're probably not going to roll the exact same game plan out. You're not going to roll the exact same thing out there again. But if you do, Arkansas is better than New Mexico. And it's a very similar style offense like that. That'll get you beat. So something's got to give on the defensive side, okay? Especially the defensive line. Some of the alignments, I just don't even understand. Like you have a guy lined up on the nose, and then you have two ends outside the tackles. It's like there's gaping, massive holes And then you only rush three. Like, I don't really get it. I don't really understand. I don't really understand the idea of continuing to only rush three all night and dialing up nothing, dialing up no blitzes, dialing up no pressure. I was listening on the ride home. This is funny. I was on the ride home and I'm listening. Okay. And Andy says, Auburn rushes five, passes incomplete. Well, heck. I mean, I threw my hands off the steering wheel. I about ran off into the ditch. We rushed five. What is that? I didn't know we could do that. And then it's incomplete. Why? Because you speed that clock up and the kid's not very accurate and he throws an incompletion. Okay. So I don't know that the defense, I don't know if it's a talent issue as much as it was as a game plan issue tonight. It felt like we just tried to play. I really don't know. Like, we tried to play too safe, or we tried to just not let this kid beat us running the ball. And well, we achieved that, but he lit us up on third and long. If there was third and long, he could wait and throw it over the middle 15, 20 yards all night long. And that is a scheme issue. That is a scheme issue. They found the hole in the offense, in the defense, and they exploited it every single time they could. If they got a one-on-one, they would throw it up and their guy could either make the catch or we would get a pass interference call or something like that. It was rough. So something's got to give there on defense. Something big time has got to give. I think that this was just a overthinking. I think we really, really thought this, over game planned it, because I just can't look at, I can't hardly watch Jalen McLeod being lined up out over a slot receiver anymore. Like, I can't look. I don't want to see Kieron Crawford lined up in the middle of the field and not coming screaming off the edge. Like, that's what we expected these guys. That's what they're good at. Now, in the NFL, you do have to be able to be, if you're going to play that position, you do have to be able to drop in coverage a little bit. So I understand at times, but I just didn't feel like there was many traditional sets where tonight, where Kieron Crawford was on the edge or Jalen McLeod was on the edge, and they were pinning their ears back and getting after this guy. I just didn't see it. Our pass rush was Isaiah Rakes, Zeke Walker, and then Malik Blockton. And like, that was it. That's who he sent all night long. And we're just not even getting remotely close, but that's not what their job is. I mean, that's not who they are. Isaiah Rakes will probably never have a sack in his whole life. And that's okay, because that's not what he's meant to do. That's not what he's meant to be. He's not meant to be a pass rusher. Zeke Walker, great, great role player, great kid, made a great tackle for loss tonight. He's not a pass rusher. He's never going to be, and he doesn't even really need to be playing contain. He is a plugger, a very tight inline type guy. He's not going to be an elite speed guy anywhere. Those guys can't continue to rush the passer. You got to be able to mix it up. You got to be able to bring pressure, and we just refuse to do that. Now, you did play a little bit better in the second half. They only scored one touchdown. I think there was some opportunities for them to score some more touchdowns or some more points in the second half they left on the board, but they just couldn't convert. They couldn't make it happen. So I don't know. Something's got to change there. I don't really know what it is, but they definitely got to get something going. Hold on one second. I'm going to try to get Emily Grace on. I'm going to try to get her on in just a second so she can jump in. She's at the stadium. I'm going to email her really quick, and then we're going to talk about what to look at moving forward. This is great radio right here. This is great content. There we go. And go ahead and be firing up the questions in the chat. If you want to make sure you get your question gets asked, definitely hit the super chat, and we'll go from there have some fun. But so good, the bad, another bad. Penalties were terrible tonight. Penalties were awful, and that's definitely got to get cleaned up. You had 9 penalties for almost 100 yards of penalties. That's got to be cleaned up. Hey, I saw something I ain't never seen before tonight. I think I saw 2 penalties that equaled like 50 yards. it was crazy on a punt. I think it was on a kickoff return or a punt return. We had a really good, we had a really good punt return. I think we had two penalties and somehow a 15-yard penalty and a 10-yard penalty somehow ended up being like 40 yards. It was crazy. We had, I know it was a spot foul, but still it was like, it was absurd. Like we had some crazy penalties, some timely, some really bad pass interference calls, some holding calls. It was, got to get some stuff cleaned up. Definitely got to get some stuff cleaned up. There's way too many penalties going on both sides of the ball. That's another big negative. And then, hey, this is a small negative, but why are we not getting Malcolm Simmons the ball? This son of a gun, every time he's on the field, makes something happen. I mean, you run a jet sweep to him, a little punch pass jet sweep to him, and I still think he scored. I don't know that he stepped out. I want to see a review. I want to see a challenge there. I can't believe that. I don't want to think he stepped out there. And then we sneak him into the little up back situation on the kickoff return where they're doing the little pooch punt because they're scared to kick it to Cobb, understandably. And he sneaks over there, catches the ball, and he damn near scores. It was unbelievable. He's so electric. Like I'm confused. I'm wondering, is he still being punished for did Mike G get him punished? Did Mike G get Malcolm Simmons punished for telling on him for ratting him out for almost dropping the ball at the goal line? Like I'm wondering. I think we need to look into that. I think Mike G got Malcolm Simmons in trouble. I'm obviously joking, but could he be still punished or could he be like in the doghouse a little bit for that? I don't know, but man, that kid's electric. Man, that dude is electric and he needs way, way more playing time. He needs way more touches. I was joking. I was like, I think he needs 20 touches a game. Like he's that good. I want to see touches. I want to see him getting little bitty short passes. I want to see him making stuff happen. But regardless, it's that's another sort of a small negative. EG is in. Let me get her in on here and ask her.
Hey guys.
There she is. EG, what did you think about Hank's first start? Tell us about what you thought, what you saw. You got great footage of his first touchdown pass ever. Let us know what you thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just got a post game with Coach Freeze, and they did send Hank out, which I was not surprised about. And I asked him about it, and he did say there were some conversations between himself and Peyton that it was bittersweet, obviously, to take the starting role of someone. He said there were times that Peyton kind of helped him out. Coach Freeze also mentioned that he caught a conversation of Peyton and Hank on the sidelines, kind of go over some coverages, how to identify a man. But he seemed really consistent. He seemed really confident. I will say, I think at times in the first half, he seemed to not be, you know, super aware of, you know, the pressure in the pocket, things like that. But I think he adjusted. Obviously, the rain came down. You guys can see him in a full rain suit. And that did have some effect on things. But it overall seems like this team, I never thought that Peyton lost the locker room, but I do think that these guys are happy for Hank to be in this role.
100%. You could definitely see. I saw a lot of high fives, a lot of hugs, a lot of congratulations from the players as he's walking off the field. He just got a smile on his face, man. Yeah. He's just smiling from ear to ear. It was really good to see. What are your thoughts on give me your thoughts on the defense from the field. Is it as bad as it looked? I had some rain on the windshield action going up in the press box. It was kind of tough to see at times, but it looked like Auburn was just trying their hardest to keep contain of the quarterback and just weren't able to get any pressure. What do you think there?
You hit the nail on the head, containment. And I feel like this is something that Auburn has struggled with before, and it seems like sometimes it's figured out. You see flashes, but it was bad. The first drive, I think their quarterback, it seemed like he had 17 seconds just to scramble, and that continued all night. They could not sack that kid. Now, granted, he is a good player. He reminds me a lot of Diego Pavia, actually, and his ability to get the ball out quick, make some tempo, as well as just his ability to scramble the secondary. I'm not sure what the solution is because you do have such young players there, but they were just getting beat left and right. And if those receivers could catch the ball for New Mexico, there were a lot of times that would put Auburn in a sticky situation. And so, you know, thankfully for Auburn, if you're an Auburn fan tonight, you're thankful that those kind of bounced off some hands. But I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I'm curious to hear from DJ Durkin this coming week and see what his thoughts are. And I know they're going to have some adjustments, but Unfortunately, from my field level, it was not great.
I know you got to go, so I'm going to give you one more question. As far as the offense, I feel like this offense can win football games. I feel like the style of play, the execution from Hank, and obviously the wide receivers, especially when Cam gets back healthy. I feel personally like this offense can win some games. What do you think? What do you take away as far as how it looked, how we can build, how Auburn can build on it? Overall thoughts on the offense just in general?
It seemed like Keandre Lambert-Smith was one of Hank's favorite targets, and we saw a lot of action from him tonight. I think that the positive is that so many different guys had touches. Mm. The run game looked a lot more effective, I would say middle of the third quarter, fourth quarter, than it did towards the beginning of the game. But if you can have such a balanced attack, and I want you guys to look at the statistics, it was very balanced. And Coach Freeze said it himself, that kind of offense will win you football games. When you're looking at Arkansas, especially coming up this week, you have to have that. And it seemed like they were able to utilize the offense in a way they haven't really been able to do under Peyton, and Hank was able to adjust. Now, there were a few throws that were a little questionable. Again, is that just lack of experience? Is it the rain? There's a lot of factors going forward. But as we're all aware of, Hank Brown is the starting quarterback for Arkansas. That was pretty bold, I think, for Coach Freeze to say that. We were able to ask Hank about his thoughts on that, and he said he feels like there's a lot to improve on. I really enjoy getting to talk to him. I asked him, I said, Hank, how do you stay grounded over the last week? You know, there's been a lot of change. Now you're in the starting position. And he said he leans a lot on his faith and along with his family and being in constant communication. I thought that was really special. The moment did not seem too big for Hank, and I think that's a good thing for Auburn fans to take away, that it seems like he can adjust well and that the team is supporting him in this.
Absolutely. Well, EG, I know you got a long ride to get back home. Appreciate you jumping on, and it was fun to work with you today, and we'll do it again soon.
Yes, see you guys next week. Bye.
All right, thanks. Take care. All right, that was Emily Grace, obviously still on site, still grinding. Had a lot of fun working with her again today, and she did a really, really good job. If you haven't seen, followed some of the social media stuff that we've done, she got great footage of Hank's first touchdown pass to Camden Brown. It was great. At what point, there was one point, one throw in particular, where I was just like, okay, this is the guy. When I saw the throw, I was like, this is the guy. And that was the deep pass early in the game to Keandre Lambert-Smith. Dropped it in a bucket. It was something. That was a good throw against anybody. I mean, it doesn't matter. It does not matter the level of competition. It was on the money. It was in a bucket. It was perfect timing. It was perfectly led in perfectly over his shoulder. It was just that's a big time throw. And then obviously ripping it in on the touchdown pass was also really impressive too. I think we got a quarterback, guys. I think we got something to build off of. And I don't see Hank getting to the point where he's going to melt under the pressure. So that's my deal. Outlook. Okay. I'm looking at the schedule. I honestly know some people may walk away from this game feeling worse. I honestly walk away feeling much, much better, because I don't think what you saw tonight on defense, I feel like that's the exception versus the rule. I think that was a bad game plan. Vice versa, last week, very good game plan. The week prior, also very good game plan. And I think what you can take some of the stuff that you learned from this performance and sort of, you know, I guess make some adjustments. You got a whole week to prepare for Arkansas now. And you know, hey, if we just do this whole deal, we just rush three, yeah, we may contain their quarterback, but there's a good chance they could light us up, and they may have a little bit of better athletes, especially at wide receiver, that can make Auburn pay. So my biggest worry this whole year, this whole last 2 weeks has been, or week and a half, has been the offense. Can Auburn put an offensive product out there that can be competitive? And I think this is something, I think what you saw tonight can be that. I really do. I don't care how bad New Mexico is on defense. I think this is an offensive product, an offensive style in general, that I think can be successful and you can continue to build. So I'm looking forward to this next game up against Arkansas. Like EG said, I didn't even know this, but in the press conference, I guess Hugh has already named Hank the starter for Arkansas. So that's big. A lot of confidence. He's got a lot of confidence in Hank, and we'll move forward with Hank as the guy. And that kind of fires me up. So we'll see what happens. Let's get in the chat. Let's have some fun. If you want to make sure that you get your question in or comment in, obviously hit the super chat, and I'll make sure that it gets read. Ramsey 590, this is something that was a talking point all night. Couldn't get much worse with Scott on the outside, so move him back to the middle and shore up the middle of the field. I agree, but at times he was in the middle. There were times where they did move him inside, and he's just having a tough start to the year. There's got to be some things that change there because he's struggling. And then the drop punt tonight was not great either. Obviously, I mean, you just can't do that. Even with the game in hand, you definitely can't do that. I know he started the year a little bit dinged up, but we got to have this guy. So he's got to figure something out because that's just that's not going to get it. Let's keep going through. That was a good one. That was a very, very good comment. So keep going. Let's see. The projection was 45-22. That's about right. In addition, Hank Brown played better than previous redshirt freshman starting quarterbacks in their first start. I don't have a table of all those redshirt freshman starts, but that was pretty close. If that's the projection, obviously we were pretty close. I think it was 45-19. So that's pretty whatever projection that is, man, we need to bottle that up because you can win some money. You can win some money gambling with those type projections. Let's see here. Everybody's making fun of me sending an email in the middle. So that's a lot of fun. I get so much. Y'all give me so much grief sometimes. Come on now. I'm trying to make it happen. So I'm a one-man show. Containment was the biggest issue. They crashed too much. Rua report. Look, containment can mean a bunch of different things. Okay. Does containment mean we keep them in the pocket? Does containment mean you keep him from being able to run, break the pocket and run? I agree. At times he was able to break the pocket. It seemed like the goal was to make sure he could not rush the ball. He could not have any rushing yards versus just keeping him 100% in the pocket. When he did break contain, it just gave him so much more time and he could find a one-on-one matchup. And then we either have a pass interference call or they'd make a big catch. Again, I think at this point in time, you got to start dialing up pressure. You got to see what you got. You got to be able to lean on McLeod, lean on Crawford, lean on Falk to be able to rush the passer. I mean, that's what they're kind of here for, to get, that's what they're going to make the big bucks in the NFL, hopefully, for to be able to rush the passer. I had somebody ask me, this is not a question in the chat, but I had somebody ask me, the defensive players, the defensive high school recruits, do you think they'd be worried about what they saw tonight? I could, if that is the scheme that you go with for the rest of the year, I could say yes, but I don't think that's the case. I think that was just literally 100% due to this quarterback trying to keep him in contain, trying to keep him from being able to beat you with his legs, and hopefully they throw some new wrinkles in at Arkansas as well, because that's going to be an interesting. That's going to be an interesting game if nothing changes between now and then. This was a great play. TMNC, that first interception was a highlight tape. Inclusion overall, the D was frustrating. Yes, it was. But that first interception with Jaron Thompson taking it off the dude's back, that was a great play. And then on fourth down, you had Antonio Kite with a big interception. And a big return, and I think he got tackled by his own guy. I mean, and then Jaron Thompson actually got absolutely murdered by an offensive lineman, and you got to tack on 15 more. But that was a big play in the game. I feel like the score was pretty close at that point in time, and it was fourth down and five. Fourth down really manageable, and they've been killing you over the middle, and they actually got pressure. Falk got in there, got in his face, made him have to speed it up, and he ripped one over the middle, and Kite jumped it and picked it off. But that's what happens when you're able to get pressure on the quarterback. Got to see more pressure on the quarterback. Good stuff happens when you can get pressure on the quarterback. And maybe I'm a homer, but I feel like you got some guys that can actually get back there and make it happen. Let's see what we got. I mean, I agree with this. NH3425, who is a regular on this show, Hank did look like a four-year starter. He did not look like a redshirt freshman. There was only one time where maybe it was a freshman mistake, and I don't even know. I don't even know who went the wrong way, but there was a time where we were driving. It was right after we went in the Wildcat, which I could have thrown my chair through that window in the press box. When you do that, you motion him out, you go to Wildcat, and obviously you lose yards. And then the very next play, either Hank went the wrong way or the running back went the wrong way on some type of, you know, play action or handoff or something. And it was, it ended up being a big play, a big loss. And I think he ended up having to kick a field goal. So, other than that, I thought he looked like a 4-year starter, looked like a vet back there, very comfortable, getting it out. TK, Hank is a cold blooded assassin. I love it. Yeah, I agree. Assassin. He'll make it rain on you and smile at you and look like a little baby back there, a little baby face back there. And it's like, man, this child is just doing me right now. He's just absolutely throwing it up and down the field on me right now. There's nothing I can do about it. And he's got beautiful hair and beautiful eyes. And I don't even know what to do with myself right now. I can't stop it. Let's see. Let's keep going. Let's go down some. Prince Major. Hey, I'm with you here. I want more deep shots. They were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I think it's saying a lot of our passes were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I agree with you, man. I do want to see some more deep shots. The one we did was beautiful. The one he threw deep was beautiful. I think he threw one pretty deep, 30 or 40 yards or something like that to Perry. That was a pretty big shot. But I think this game, you had to be able to figure out how you can move the ball and get the ball out quick. You had to protect Hank in his first start. You couldn't just have him dropping way back and slinging bombs. Because number one, those are very the completion percentage is not that high. You don't want to kill his confidence. And then your offensive line, man, you got a patchwork offensive line. You had Dylan Wade sliding out at right tackle. You had Percy at left tackle. You're rotating guys trying to figure out the best deal of who you got out there that's healthy. You got a lot of guys dinged up, so you're trying to find the best combo. I just don't know if a bunch of deep drops and slinging it was the best game plan for Hank. But I do eventually think you're going to see those deep shots because Hank, by God, wants to throw it deep. Hank wants to go vertical, and he did get to throw one beautiful, beautiful deep ball, one of the prettiest deep balls we've seen in quite a while at Auburn. So, but I'm with you, man. I want to see some fireworks. I want to see some deep balls. Let's see here. My world of sports. You notice Freeze coached him different than Peyton Thorne. Looking back, easy to see Freeze was fed up and just routine stuff, especially protection, knowing PT panics when not protected. It's hard for me to see from the press box how Freeze is coaching, but there were a lot of times where it seemed like when Peyton's out there, he's getting chewed before he can get off the side. He's getting chewed from the hash. He's getting chewed from the hash all the way to the sideline, especially if it's a drive stalling, you know, punt situation. It did seem like Hugh coached him really hard, and it was more so, you know better. Why are you doing this? You know better kind of thing. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, why are you? And again, I couldn't see exactly how he reacted to Hank a lot tonight, but I'm not sure Hank made a lot of mistakes. So, I don't know if it's a different style, but it's something I'm going to watch. Now that you said that, my world of sports, I'm definitely going to be watching that. Let's keep going. Let's take two more. It's getting late, and then we're going to call it a night. Let's see here. Johnny Barner, how do you feel about the Kentucky game with the performance they put on against Georgia? I don't know what to think about Kentucky. I mean, they got stroked by South Carolina. I mean, it was ugly. It was disgusting what South Carolina did to them. And then they played some really stout defense at home against Georgia, and Georgia won late. And I think Kentucky pretty much led almost the whole game. I mean, I think Georgia scored sometime either early, late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, and Kentucky obviously couldn't overcome it. And I don't know what to think about them. I don't really know what to think about them yet, but I like that we have several games before we have to go to Lexington, and I think there's a bye week in there at some point in time. I think the bye week's before Missouri. I don't really know. I don't feel good, or I don't feel better or worse about that game. I didn't even really feel that bad about that game. I didn't feel much different even when Peyton played the way he did, because I don't know. I just don't feel like I don't know. I don't know what to feel about them yet. Let's keep going. A couple more. Let's see here. DB should run the rest of the week. DB's coach should run the rest of the week. I got you. Yeah. Hey, we got it. Hey, Crime, Charles Kelly, we got to step it up. I don't know as so much as them, it is the scheme. I really do. I think it's the scheme more than anything. And they do struggle in some one-on-one stuff, so I may pound on some more one-on-one situations, try to get those situations tightened up, because they do either seem to be a bit handsy, or you can't get your head around, or they just get lost. They get lost when the ball's in the air. I know that guy pushed off. I know there was a push off on the touchdown on Antonio Kite, but he wasn't in position anyway. He was not in position to make that play regardless, even though he did get kind of pushed. The guy had him shielded. It was just not good fundamentals, not really good. He just wasn't in good position at all. Hold on. I saw something about the Hail Mary. I think the Hail Mary was because helmet communication was having issues. Hank pointed at the helmet during the timeout. Hank said, okay. So I just think they sent him in with dry hands. I don't think there was a lot made about this switch up for Holden to throw the Hail Mary. And I think it was as simple as what you just last thing you said. Hank was, I think, had a couple of issues with a wet ball. Holden has a stronger arm. There was really no harm in letting him go out there and just throwing one deep. I mean, it's a low percentage play anyway. Let Holden roll out there, and maybe they're not going to send a ton of guys, and you can just sling it up there. So, but then Holden scrambles for 6 yards. I don't know what the deal was there. I was joking with some friends. I was like, you know, he didn't force it. He, you know, took what the defense gives him, and he gets to play and live to play another play. Unfortunately, that play just ended up being the end of the half. I think they're probably going to pick on him. Some of the guys are probably going to pick on him on that one for not being able to just rip one up there. Like, who cares? Just throw it. Throw it out of the back of the end zone. Do something, man. Don't just run it. He stepped out of bounds. That was kind of crazy. And bless his heart, it was wet over there, and he just about got slid up underneath the bench. It was he got pushed right at the sideline, and then it was wet, and he just kept on sliding. It was kind of crazy. Last one, and then we're going to call it a night. Let's see here. I like this. Let's end on this one, because this is just a vibe right here. Mr. Beautiful. Hank looks so laid back like me after 4 Miller Lights. That's what I'm talking about. That's America. America. Hank Brown throwing touchdowns, laid back with 4 Miller Lights, just loving life. Cannot beat it. Auburn win, lighting up the scoreboard, 45 points, 500 yards of offense, just cold Miller Lights right there waiting on you at the end. I love it. Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank y'all for jumping in. Sorry it's so late. Obviously, late games, late live streams, but it was fun, and we're going to do more of these. We're going to be back every single week. Thanks for Emily Grace for jumping on. Be safe driving home. And we're going to be back tomorrow night. Jump on with our little live Sunday night. Dive a little bit more into the minutia of the game and talk recruiting too. Landed a big commit. And let's see how this class could shape up. And is there any more news that we can talk about? There's some wide receiver stuff I want to talk about. The wide receiver board's getting interesting. And we'll definitely go over that. Y'all have a great evening. Thanks for joining. So another live episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.